You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Thursday, September 11, 2014.
Nothing happened here. We were not directly involved. Why do you hold the ceremony? My answer was simple. I said we needed to remember all the public safety personnel who ran into the buildings to help people.
13 years after the attack on the World Trade Center and Pentagon, the city of Bloomington reflects on lives lost and a country changed. More later in the show for today's Community Report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street. But first, these local headlines.
Monroe County is once again struggling to keep its finances in order. This week, County Treasurer Kathy Smith told the County Council that there are inconsistencies in the county's financial records dating back more than 15 months, and that the cause is yet to be identified.
The issue is the crossover, because the numbers did not match up. It's like a spaghetti bowl. I don't know how else to tell you. So we have to go back and say, each one of these things that came out that you didn't account for, where did it really come from? What months did it really come from?
Ultimately, the bookkeeping problems means the county has less money in the bank than its records say it should. Officials say employee error is to blame for at least part of the confusion. County Auditor Steve Salter said workers in the auditor's office have not always reconciled accounts properly. The issue has particularly affected payments to the retirement fund for county employees, known as PERF.
The audit for 2011 and the audit for 2012 by the State Board of Accounts. This county was written up under a previous auditor for not reconciling properly these withholding accounts. PERF is considered to be a withholding account, just like everything else. When I became auditor in 13, I met with the payroll person at the time and said, look, this has got to quit. You quit doing it the old-fashioned way. You've got to reconcile this stuff immediately. So the attempt was made to reconcile it. So therefore, if you go into May of 2013, you'll see large amounts of money being taken out of the bank accounts.
Former auditor Amy Gerstmann was in charge in 2011 and 12, although Salter did work for the auditor's office at the time. At the meeting, Smith and Salter both asked the council for permission to hire an independent accountant to review their records. That accountant would try to resolve the discrepancies, but County Attorney Jeff Cockrell said there would also be training involved.
I am moving under the assumption that some of these mistakes may be systemic. And so the systemic ones, as well as maybe the other things, to have training and those kind of things by these people to work with the staffs of definitely the treasurers and maybe the auditors as well, depending on what they come up with, to train them so that those mistakes won't happen again.
Council members were not immediately supportive of the new accountant, but they expressed concerns about discrepancies. Shelley Yoder asked Smith why the council wasn't informed earlier.
We have searched so many hours and looked at every.
Why are we just now hearing about this? Why isn't it caught up? A year ago, I thought that there was an issue with balancing when one of the employees left and there were concerns.
Exactly.
About,
yes. You guys allowed me to hire somebody about this in October of last year. Mm-hmm. That person come in and then it's tax season. You know, I can't do that in October. Had we got that person earlier in the year, we'd have had the summer to work on it. So Steve and I agreed after tax season we would sit down and work on it together. And that just didn't happen.
Last year, the treasurer's office fell as far as 6 months behind in filing required reports on the county's finances. The office got caught up last winter, and Smith said that was only forcing certain reconciliations even though there wasn't proper paperwork to back up the figures.
We have searched so many hours and looked at every single entry. They're not there. They're not there. So the mistakes are built in between our departments. It's in the transition between our departments. We need somebody that has more skill than I have, and, you know, more skill. My people are Pat Twos, which are low-level bookkeepers. We need an accountant.
Earlier this month, the council agreed to hire a new employee for the treasurer's office. The goal is to reduce the workload for the employees. The council delayed a decision on whether to pay for an accountant to deal with current discrepancies. They agreed to take up the conversation again in October after the county commission weighs in.
Three organizations have received funds from the city of Bloomington to advance bicycle and pedestrian mobility in Bloomington. The Local Motion Grant Program is an effort by the city to obtain bike-friendly community status from the League of American Bicyclists. $3,000 were split between Middleway House, the Bloomington Bike Project, and Friends and the Buskirk-Chumley Theater for a bike share program, a fellowship, and a screening of Breaking Away. A second cycle of Local Motion Grant applications will occur next spring.
The Jacob Sexton Military Suicide Prevention Act, authored by Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly, is scheduled to receive a full Senate hearing this year. But in conjunction with September's Suicide Prevention Month, Donnelly released a statement this week regarding a new report from the Department of Defense. According to the DOD, in the first quarter of 2014, 120 service members committed suicide. That number is right on track with the total number of military suicides in 2013, which was 475. In his statement, Donnelly said the majority of assistance goes to those who are active military in their deployment cycle, and that more assistance needs to go to those who are the Reserve and National Guard members.
The owner of a local restaurant building was left wondering September 8th whether he'd be allowed to build apartments behind the business. The Bloomington Plan Commission did not come to a clear decision about the project at India Garden on East 4th Street. Some members of the commission cited concerns about other recent developments downtown. Commission member Pat Williams said the timing is problematic.
Over the last 6 years, we've approved a lot of things in Bloomington that were permitted, that were allowed, that code simply dictated the approval. There is probably not a week that passes that I don't talk with someone somewhere that has a comment, a conversation, or simply want to express their frustration of what is happening to Bloomington.
The property on East 4th Street, commonly known as Restaurant Row, is owned by Sibgott Sheikh from Martinsville. Sheikh wants to build a three-story apartment building behind the restaurant. Commission member Chris Sturbaum asked the city's planning staff if others on Restaurant Row might soon have the same idea.
Is this a formula that is going to allow these apartments to just sit behind every one of the buildings on Restaurant Row? Or is this an allowable, once we set this precedent, can we just expect to go down the row and fill up those backyards with?
Not to jump in here, but I think it's going to be very site specific. I don't think there are very many of these sites that have the room to put a building like this. I think you're going to see more, for their existing parking lots. This is what they've chosen to do. I think that it's not setting a precedent because it's always been something that someone would be allowed to do.
Along with the various new downtown housing developments, the commission actually approved a nearly identical project twice in 2008 and 2009. At that time, the property had a different owner who died before the apartments could be built. City Attorney Patty Mulvihill advised the commission to be careful if they decide to deny the petition at this time.
When you start as a body, not as individuals, when the body starts making different decisions when they have based on information they had already had, not you as individuals, but as the Plan Commission, that troubles me in the overall perspective of what that means for the city of Bloomington as a whole, in terms of liability and possible litigation. So yes, it concerns me if you are going to deny approval based on information that has already been presented to this body when the body has already approved it on two separate occasions.
Sturbaum disagreed. He said the commission has different members now than it did 5 years ago, and that they should be free to vote how they see fit.
There were waivers granted originally.
Correct.
And I'm not sure I was on the commission at that time, and I'm not sure there are other members who were not on the commission. Those waivers were a judgment call at that time on a petition that has expired. We're looking at a sensitive character district, and I don't believe this came to the Historic Commission, and this could have an impact on that character district, and I believe we are setting a precedent, and I believe we are free to make our choice in this body at this time, and I don't believe troubling is actually a legal term as such.
The building would need a waiver from some city zoning rules, including rules about building height. The new structure would be 41 feet tall, 6 feet more than the rules allow. Commission member Joe Hoffman supported the project.
One way to deal with Restaurant Row, buildings that maybe are not the optimal, high, most efficient use of the square footage on the ground. Older buildings, beautiful, we love them. We want them to stay that way forever. But, you know, in most cities, those houses would be gone, and someone would come in and put up, a taller building in their place. One way to keep Restaurant Row the way it is to let the owners of these properties put things in the back that will help them keep the fronts just the way they are and just the way we love them. And that's part of why I voted for this in 2008 and 2009. And that's related to compact urban form, but it's a more specific Restaurant Row point. Nobody walking down Restaurant Row is going to see this building. It's going to be invisible to a pedestrian.
Ultimately, not enough members voted for or against the project to make a binding decision. Hoffman joined two other members in voting yes, while Sturbaum, Williams, and two others voted against. The commission needs 5 votes to pass either motion, so the petition automatically continues till the next meeting. Board members Tom Sieber and Scott Bergens were absent. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Support for the Daily Local News comes from Smithville, a local provider of internet, phone, and TV service over a stabilized fiber optic network. Serving Monroe, Greene, Owen, Lawrence, Brown, and Morgan counties. More information on Smithville's full line of services is available at 812-876-2211 or smithville.net.
The anniversary of September 11th was commemorated by the City of Bloomington this morning in Showers Plaza. Bob Levesick, president of the Bloomington Metropolitan Professional Firefighters, Local 586, led off the ceremony. We hear his words for today's community report.
When I was asked recently, why do we remember this day in Bloomington? Nothing happened here. We were not directly involved. Why do you hold the ceremony? My answer was simple. I said we needed to remember all the public safety personnel who ran into the buildings to help people. But this day is to honor all of those who lost their lives. The office worker at the World Trade Center who thought after work he would be going to play with his son at Central Park. The military member who showed up for his assigned duty at the Pentagon and never made it home. And the passengers of Flight 93 who, in spite of their inevitable death, overpowered the hijackers, and probably averted a possibly worse tragedy. And finally, the 343 firefighters, 60 police officers, and 80 EMS workers who courageously lost their lives trying to save those in the Twin Towers. So today is to remember all of those lost and continue to keep their families in your prayers. And now some remarks from Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan.
Thank you, and thank you so much, Bob, for doing this every year. You know, as I look at the remembrances around the community and around the country this year, I'm actually very heartened. I've worried in the last few years that maybe we were starting to forget that we show up on this day, and more and more, this was the first responders and a handful of politicians who were here. And if you look no further than today's front page of the local newspaper and look around the country, the kind of remembrances that are occurring, I think it is heartening. And I think it's even more important that it's not one of those 0 or 5 years. Those are the kind of years we tend to remember, the fifth, the 10th, the 15th, the 20th. And it's important that we're all doing this today. And I think it's an opportunity for us to reflect upon the thoughts and emotions that we each had that day, and to personalize that, and to recall more than just the TV coverage and all the front pages and all that history that was being made and that we knew was being made at that time. It was that it was a part of us. You know, for me, memories of getting ready to go to a Chamber of Commerce annual meeting that was canceled because of what was unfolding before us, and my parents calling to say they couldn't reach my sister, who they knew had a meeting in the Sears Tower. As you recall, there was fear around the country that a lot of big buildings were going to be under attack, and that fear of the unknown. For Bob Levesic, it was realizing, and I'm sure for many of you, that these might have been officers, firefighters, first responders, EMTs, people that certainly were of your profession, but maybe even people you had met through training, through professional organizations. And that realization, that was a personal feeling that you all possessed. And I hope that every one of us can think about how we felt that day, not just how we look back on it, but how we felt that day, and really internalize that, personalize it, and share it with others. Because just up the street, we have all of today's incoming freshmen at the university. This is the first generation that really has no direct memory of that day. We have today's eighth graders who, the first generation born in 2001. All of you, we're so happy you're here with us today. Thank you for joining us. And for all of these, this next generation, they have to rely on history books. They won't have a personal memory of it. So they'll have to rely on us. They'll have to rely on us to share our personal memories, as Bob did with his family. And what they are seeing today, and all of today's headlines, really is an awful lot of conflict. They look to their nation's capital and they see Republicans and Democrats in conflict. They look to Ferguson. They see black and white in conflict. They look to Indiana, Wisconsin. They see gay and straight in conflict. So I hope that all of us can remind them that on September 11, 2001, what we all saw and what we committed to the next generation was a unified nation, and that we take our personal experience and realize again that we have an individual and a collective responsibility to honor the commitment we made then. We will never forget. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please stand? Honor Guard and Company, attend! The men and women of today's fire service are confronted with a more dangerous work environment than ever before. We are forced to continually change our strategies and tactics to accomplish our tasks. Our methods may change, but our goals remain the same as they were in the past, to save lives and protect property, sometimes at a terrible cost. This is what we do. This is our chosen profession. This is the tradition of a firefighter. The fire service is today ever-changing, but is steeped in traditions 200 years old. One such tradition is the sound of the bell. In the past, as firefighters began their tour duty, it was the bell that sounded the beginning of that day's shift. Throughout the day and night, each alarm was sounded by a bell, which summoned these brave souls to fight fires and to place their lives in jeopardy for the good of their fellow citizen. And when the fire was out and the alarm had come to an end, it was the bell that signaled out to all the completion of that call. When a firefighter had died in the line of duty, paying the supreme sacrifice, it was the mournful toll of the bell that solemnly announced a comrade's passing. We utilize these traditions as symbols, which reflect honor and respect on those who have given so much and who have served so well. To symbolize the devotion that these brave souls had for their duty, a special signal of three rings, three times each, represents the end of our comrades' duties and that they will be returning to quarters. And so, to those who have selflessly given their lives for the good of their fellow man, their task completed, their duties well done. To our comrades, their last alarm, they are going home. Honor Guard and companies present arms.
President of the Bloomington Metropolitan Professional Firefighters, Bob Levesick, and Bloomington Mayor Mark Rezan offering their perspectives on the continued recognition of the anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks earlier today in Showers Plaza, outside of Bloomington City Hall.
Support for WFHB comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli, your locally grown co-op grocery since 1976. Blooming Foods features natural, organic, local, and fair trade food and garden items with support for small farmers, co-op producers, and local food artisans. Blooming Foods Market and Deli, on 2nd and Fess at Elm Heights, East 3rd near College Mall, West 6th near the Courthouse Square, and right up your alley at Kirkwood and Dunn.
Up next, members of the Bloomington community talk about the Lotus Festival on Voices in the Street, our weekly public opinion segment.
Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. This week on Voices in the Street, friends, fusion, and fun, celebrating the Lotus World Music and Arts Festival. The Lotus Festival kicks off next week, and the coming days promise loads of music, a parade, multiple workshops, and more fun than you can shake a kibasa at. Voices in the Street hit the streets to ask your friends and neighbors if they're planning on attending the festival and about some of their favorite Lotus memories.
I work right in the middle of it. I work at Blue Boy Cafe and Cakery, so I'm looking forward to just being really busy and it being really fun and just watching it all from the window because I won't really be a part of it.
I would say when my boyfriend actually was one of the bands that helped open up the Lotus Festival about 2-3 years ago, so that's a good memory for me. And just seeing the different nationalities of the different bands that come from all over that play is very significant to me.
I haven't gone in the past, but I plan on attending some of the free events this weekend. So.
I've never actually attended it. It just looked like a lot of bad faux foreign food to me. I can't.
I always love to dance. Like, that's my favorite part of Lotus, is getting to do a lot of dancing. And I also love just how alive Bloomington becomes. It's just like a huge party everywhere. Everyone's just happy and greeting everyone. And she came all the way back from
Oregon
just to go.
One of last my year. Most prolific or wonderful moments of my life was when Daryl Anger, Frigg, and Vesson all played together for the first time. It was magical.
I've never gone before. I do plan on attending. I'm just excited to get exposed to some world music that I haven't heard before.
I'll probably not buy any tickets. I'll probably walk around and check out the, the Jefferson Street Parade Band. They're great. I got a bunch of friends in there. They're a really funky marching band. They're awesome. Probably my favorite memory from Lotus was a few years ago. I saw this klezmer rock band called Golem. I don't think they've played since, but they're great. It was so much fun, and I'd never heard of them before, so that's probably what I like the most is, you know, you discover, like, this awesome, really fun band.
And I usually just go from tent to tent, enjoy what I can find.
For the fun and diversity and the spirit that comes with it. Moffitt's, this one that I remember, is great, great. It was great fun. Third Street or the Park Lotus is a wonderful event too because we can bring the family and kids and so forth.
I actually have never been, but I do plan on going this year because I have a class and I need to write a paper for it.
Yeah, I'm planning on attending. I have been for a long time every year. I'm not honestly sure what I want to see this year. Last year I was really excited about Moffitt's, but they're not going to be there, so that's sad.
I've never been to Lotus Festival, but I plan on attending this year.
I've been once. I went last year,
I love the food and I love the music. I like bringing all the music, foreign, all the world music. I like having that local. It's very nice to kind of have that sort of musical exploration involved with the whole college scene.
Well, I actually am from Evansville, Indiana, and I'm from Signature School. It's a charter school in Indiana, and we would go up every year to come and visit. So even when I was a freshman, I was coming up to Bloomington to enjoy the atmosphere. And really what I like most about it is that it brings out the best in Bloomington and that it gives everyone a different slice of culture from all around, which is what an Indiana university kind of puts forward in its international kind of policies and consensus. And so it really is a good time to feel alive and unified, to taste different cultures in terms of food and music, and to really just feel that you're a part of a community, and it gives you something that you just can't get anywhere else.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB, supported by Smithville, your Indiana communications company, at smithville.net, and by Blooming Foods Market and Deli, your locally grown co-op grocery. Today's headlines were written by Allison Bektesh, along with Joe Crawford for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Allison Bektesh.
Voices in the Street was produced by Kelly Worley. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Managing producer is Joe Crawford. Our board engineer and executive producer is Allison Bektesh. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, independent daily news program.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.